Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults by adults containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised. Previously on Full of Sound and Fury.
We're on iTunes. We're just moving on up to the sky. To the lobster. Come on, everybody. To the sky.
It's hard to listen to. So, like, we need to... We really do need to do a better...
Oh, you listen to this podcast?
I'd like to check the quality of conversation.
It's quality control.
That's right. QC.
So, no agenda then, huh?
We have. I mean,
that's the name of another podcast. No agenda show.
An agenda?
The NFL is coming.
Oh, I guess we have.
We did 7 hours of comic book...
Yes.
reviews.
The Lost Hours, yes.
That was over old comics.
That was
new comics,
over
the week.
Well, I only lost 3 hours, to be fair.
Fine, so we had it.
Yeah, but we recorded 7.
Oh, yeah.
We compressed it.
Ish.
We compressed it. So, I'm watching the screen. So I'm watching your computer to make sure it doesn't fuck us like it did last week.
Just like you watched
that. We lost the best joke. Huh?
Just like you watched that bracket.
Oh.
I did. Sore. I watched it carefully.
Sour grapes from 3 months ago.
So, okay, what has happened since the last time we convened?
Absolutely nothing.
Oh, shit. I watched
they recorded
Grimm again.
I mean,
again.
Awesome. Weiner is banging whores again, but I mean, I don't really
Carlos
care about
Danger,
that.
You mean?
Yeah. Indeed.
Who? Weiner? Wiener?
Wiener. Anthony Wiener.
Is it pronounced Weiner?
I don't know.
No, I was giving him a point.
It's definitely Wiener.
Dickface. It's pronounced Dickface.
What was
so they have a name generator for your own Carlos Danger-like name.
See, that was going to be my
name. Mine is Julio Kill.
Julio Kill?
Yeah.
All right, where do you...
That feels racist.
it's always going to be a Hispanic first name.
Mine was
what did
be
Julio Muerte? That sounds better.
Yeah.
Where's this name generator?
Yeah, search
just
for
you guys
like
Google
slate,
it'll
slate Carlos
just
Danger.
Google for like yeah Carlos Danger generator, you'll get it.
Slate. It's on slate.com. If you put slate in the search terms, you're pretty much guaranteed to get it. You don't even have to feel
it's
lucky.
Almost the only thing worth going to slate for, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, who wants to tell me about Google Fiber? I haven't pooped in 2 days, and I'm really excited about it.
You guys talk the technical end, and I'll sit in the background and make lustful noises.
It's going to be fast.
It's like Matt Brown says, it doesn't matter what your role is, it matters that you have a role.
$70 a month, 1 gigabit per second internet.
Benito Catastrophe is my...
nice.
That's pretty good.
apparently coming to Austin in 2014, although I haven't seen a lot of... more information beyond that. It'll be really freaking fast. Like, way faster than you can really imagine because no one's really used internet that fast.
Like, well, not in the U.S.
Not in the U.S.
So,
yeah.
Well,
faster than what we had at college?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Well, it's probably not faster than what you had, like, from dorm to dorm. But, like...
It's not straight.
Yeah. it's faster than what you had going into your room. Like that you could connect to?
The T1.
Yeah, but like in between.
Oh, dude, T1 is slow even by your standards today.
Really?
Yeah, T1
is
1.54.
This is not your father's T1, evidently. It's twice as fast as your ass.
I think Terminator. I'm like.
It's T800, come on.
A full T1 is like a megabit and a half.
Yeah, 1.544 megabits per second.
The thing that you pay for when you buy
T1. So a gigabyte a second?
Gigabit per second, yeah.
But you're not going to. I mean.
Yeah, you're. But
what you're going to get is on the order
per 10 per second. I don't know anything about metallurgy or Babylonian gods.
It's fast. It's faster than
10x, 100x.
Like you know how normally? Well, yeah. If you're getting like 10 megabits per second now from your cable company,
sure,
it's 100x.
Okay, that's a lot of points.
It's finally internet that's faster than most of the wireless stuff that you can like your wireless access point usually has a higher bit rate that it can achieve than your internet. Now, the Google Fiber reverses that situation.
Yeah, you're
in. You will have more speed than you know what to do with.
Oh, I know I'm doing it.
Large. You won't be able to pump the porn into your hard drive fast enough.
True.
So you, this is more of a challenge accepted.
You need an array of solid state drives.
A solid state society.
Yeah. So is everybody in their own respective neighborhoods going to be leading the charge to going around house to house to get everybody to sign up?
Our neighbors don't like us. I just figured the rich fucks would around here would just do it, but okay.
What he said.
But wherever they have it, I'll just move there. I'm not even
gonna. $70 a month? Is that the idea?
$70 a month.
Well, there's two options.
There's two.
Yeah, here's the pretty
$200, and then you get lifetime where star. Lifetime means at least 4 years. Lifetime free internet that is about today's cable rates, like 15 megabits.
$400.
Fine, $300.
It's like $300
international units.
So you pay
two, and then you just get access for a while. The only reason they're not saying in perpetuity is because they don't. I mean, that's how long their contract is. So they'll probably give it to you longer than that, but they say 4 years minimum.
Yeah, it's like some handful of megabits per second, right?
It's
like
15 or 10 or something. I mean, it's still faster.
So pay just one time payment and you get that for free, or $70 a month for a gigabit per second.
And you also get TV with that one, assumes, and shit like that.
Should I be concerned that Google sounds like they're kickstarting this thing?
Oh, I mean, they're. It's all.
What's the first push goal? How much to get the 200 gigabytes?
And then so the 70 a month is just for the gigabit per second internet without anything else. There's another tier above that where you can get TV
it's in like addition to your internet.
Yeah,
something
like that.
So it's actually pretty reasonable. The nice thing is that recently I've been seeing this trend where the Red Zone channel is available on cable, like on providers not called DirecTV.
Here come the lustful noises again.
So like, I think UVerse, for example, right now you can get Red Zone channel. I could be wrong about that, but my recollection from last year is that was the case. And if that's true, then my God, we can finally get rid of DirecTV, and that will be amazing.
And apparently you get something else, right? They give you something for free if you go with the full TV plus internet package. You get like a tablet or a Chromebook or something like that on top. They're just like, hey, whatever. Fuck it. We're giving it away.
Dude, they're just whatever. They have like a bag of shit.
They just give it away.
It is. Google Eye. I don't know. What was that little fucking ball thing?
The Nexus Q? That was a monumental failure.
What does that thing do?
Q actually. So have you heard of this device called Chromecast that they announced this week?
You should assume that I've never heard of any of these things.
It looks like a little convenience key. So the Nexus Q was a streaming device. It was a little ball that you're supposed to plug into your stereo or your TV or your AV receiver.
But not your neck.
Not your neck. That's Google Glass.
We'll come to that.
And you know, you'd be able to stream YouTube videos and stuff to your TV, but it was overly expensive and weird shaped, and it flopped before it even got out the door. So anybody who pre-ordered one got one for free. Chromecast is kind of the spiritual successor of that. It looks like a USB key, but instead of USB, the interface is HDMI. So the idea is you plug it to the back of your TV.
Okay.
And
in an HDMI slot?
In an HDMI slot. Okay. Yes. Now, if your TV supports HDMI 1.4, which is the newest standard, you don't need to plug it into power.
God damn it!
If your TV supports one of the previous standards, you can still use it. It's just you have to plug a little USB cable into it to power it, because an HDMI 1.4 actually gets powered from the HDMI bus itself. Then, with that thing, it can actually stream content that you queue up on your laptop, your tablet, Mac, PC, whatever, and stream to your TV.
I.e. Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix, YouTube, and Pandora and Google Music, of course.
Hulu?
Hulu, not yet, but soon. Are all like the first kind of group to support this.
Now, do they support MP3 Cube?
You mean the thing you wrote? It's up to you to support it. They have an SDK.
Really?
Yeah. So the idea is you're watching a YouTube video, you click one button, it stops playing on your laptop or your tablet, and it starts playing on the TV. It's not streaming from your laptop to the TV. The TV just, your laptop kind of told the TV where to find it on the internet, and then it just starts streaming. So, and then you can also control, like, start, stop, fast forward, rewind on your tablet or laptop while it's playing on your TV. So
like Jarvis.
Your device, yes. Your device becomes the remote control for whatever you're streaming. And you don't have to continue to be, like, if you're on your phone and you load the YouTube app and you're sending a video to your TV, and then you get a phone call, it's okay, you can go to your phone call, the video will keep playing, it can, you can kind of go off and do other things with that device. So $35 for this.
Okay.
Extremely inexpensive.
I thought it was 60, was it?
$35, and if you ordered it before 1 p.m. on the first day, you get 3 months free of Netflix.
Only if you're not a subscriber already.
No. Even if you were a subscriber, you get 3 months free of Netflix. But you had, they only had a handful of those vouchers, and they sold so fast that they had to limit it to 1 p.m. or previous on the order on the first day.
Yeah.
They just rapidly sold out on Google Play, on Amazon, on Best Buy. It's a pretty cool device.
That's more in stock as of like Friday.
I think their Amazon, I think, is even getting a few more now. Yeah.
Did you run your own server?
Not yet. It's basically services that support it. There's an SDK that got published with Chromecast, so theoretically, folks like Plex and XBMC and those folks will have. It'll happen.
Just, it's media streaming. That'll be pretty.
It'll happen. It's just a matter of time, I think.
So
it's
the,
pretty
the
cool.
Not closed. Closed system.
No, there's an SDK that, I mean, the technology itself may be not open source,
right.
But there's a software development kit available for it. Another cool thing about the HDMI 1.4 stuff, though, is you can actually have the Chromecast itself with that protocol, like the advanced protocols and the newest standard, turn on the TV and switch the input to itself and then stream.
Nice.
I thought that was really cool.
TV is not connected to the internet.
No, the Chromecast connects to your Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi?
Yes,
no.
It connects to your Wi-Fi. So all you need, if you had a modern TV that you bought like this year, all you need to do is just plug it in to the TV and you'd be done.
As long as you got good Wi-Fi.
As long as you got good Wi-Fi.
You know, what would be interesting about that.
How many marriages will that save per year?
I wonder if the SDK will support sending other arbitrary commands through the HDMI 1.4, because it would be pretty awesome to like make a Chromecast remote control for your TV that you use on your Android device.
That would be cool.
Right now I do that with my PC plugged into my TV.
Yeah, but
now I would be able to just get rid of all that.
Yeah.
As long as
you can stream it from somewhere. It has to be on the internet somewhere on the network.
Is it like fundamentally better than just having a PS3 connected to the internet?
It depends. Like,
how many
you
times
games,
have we tried to
no.
watch that goddamn Skrillex video on your PS3 and failed miserably?
Here's the problem. That's
the answer is yes.
Hold on a second. We spent 20 minutes.
Hold on a second. That's not the PS3's fault. That's the fact that it uses, uses the mobile version of YouTube, which has a more limited collection of videos. But the Chromecast also uses the mobile version of YouTube.
It's true.
So you're going to have the same selection issues.
See, I'm most excited about that.
But
the
quote-unquote
mobile version, all that really means is that
less good.
when you upload a video, you have to decide whether or not... I don't remember if this is even true, but like older videos, for example, like didn't get encoded in the right format, and like they're not being actively re-encoded unless maybe like the owner of the file goes back and asks for it to be. And so the result is that like they're only stored as Flash videos, which are kind of shitty and are... not space efficient, etc.
Yeah.
So, like, it has to be encoded in the later video standards in order to be available on the
WebM or something like that.
Yeah, WebM or what is
H.264?
I think is the one. So
technology. Anyway, I think it's an exciting device. It's very cheap. It cannibalizes Apple TV in some sense because Apple TV is $99. This is $35, and Google kind of owns a lot of web streaming video. Like they're the name of the game, right, with YouTube. So I think it's a really exciting device. I don't remember how we got on this topic, but it's really neat.
So have you
someone asked if we had an agenda. We all said no. And I asked about Google Fiber because I knew nothing about it.
Have you looked at some of the newer crap that Apple seems to be doing related to televisions? Because there's been some rumors like this week, last week, that like Apple TV may get like a new improved generation, and Apple may actually get into the TV business directly with like gesture controlled televisions. I think
that's what I hear.
That everyone's talking about.
That
gesture
is,
control
that is
again.
Total Jarvis shit,
everyone's
then.
Trying
yeah, so
to get.
Can I just make a jack off motion at my TV and have it switch to the right channel? Yeah. That's why I was.
This is getting a little. Okay.
It's the right channel. I don't even know what the right channel is anymore. It's been a long
time.
This
is why we don't want to sit close to the mic.
no one seems to be able to do gesture control right. Even the Kinect can be utterly terrible. Like, you know, even if Apple does it, I'm not confident.
A whole bunch of Apple fanboys will be very
confused. Oh, yeah, they'll get really it. They go, more power to them. They can go
have
get it.
Have any of you guys gotten to play with the new Xbox and the new Kinect yet? And all the PAXs you go to and everything?
No, that's all
probably
held back from the public.
Maybe PAX Prime. Maybe. I doubt it.
What can we look forward to PAX Prime, which we're returning to after a two-year absence?
Bunch of games.
2 years?
I think,
yeah.
I am, you know, like, pretty hot ticket items for a holiday, like Watch Dogs will probably be able to be played there.
I've not heard of this one.
Never heard of Watch Dogs? Oh, mm-hmm. Man, we gotta
break it down for me.
Pause this podcast right now and show you the trailer. So basically, it's, you know, the premise sounds kind of trite, but when you look at the gameplay, that's the really awesome piece. It's like anything can be hacked. It's in kind of just slightly ahead in the future. And your character has a cell phone that can hack anything. So you can hack into other people's cell phones and listen to their conversations. You can hack into their bank accounts and drain them or add money to them. You can hack into security cameras and lighting systems and PCs. Do you remember anything else?
Yeah, and Keyshawn, from protocols.
Like anything you can hack into. So you have this like menu that you just flip open when you open your phone in this game. Okay. You can hack for various things, but you're kind of an agent trying to do various different things. So maybe you hack into a bodyguard or like a bouncer in a club's cell phone and have him make it look like his mom's calling him so you can get past him inside the club, and then you can maybe turn off the lights in the club to like run around and do stuff. And it's hard for me to describe with just how cool it looks, like the quickness with which you can do these hacking things of the many different objects in the game. It's a third person open world kind of game that you can hack is just super cool. And then it goes from that hacking stuff to like action, like you bust out your gun, you flip up this little grifter mask that you put on, and all of a sudden you're having gunfights out in the street, and like you're hacking cars to like make them move around and nice. And stuff.
Is there any like multiplayer where you're, one guy's the action guy that's real dumb, and the other one is the
I have nerd no idea.
Like
I think
talking him through it.
I think there's multiplayer involved, but I have no idea what it looks like. All I've ever seen is a single
that
player.
Sounds like PsyOps, isn't it?
Oh, PsyOps! God,
what you just described. Do you remember that game?
So, is this on existing consoles or one?
It will be
titles?
On PS3, Xbox 360, PS4, and Xbox One.
Okay, cool.
So it's on all four. So that's why I think it's safe for them to probably demo it at a place like PAX where they can just shove a PS3 or an Xbox 360.
So that'll be the longest line we can get into.
Probably, yeah. It's an Ubisoft game, so in between Assassin's Creed. Actually, there's Assassin's Creed coming out this year, too.
Yeah,
so right. AC4 will be there. AC4,
yeah.
Black Flag. It's actually a prequel to AC3.
I'm in love for the first time.
And, yeah, and Watch Dogs will be there, too, almost certainly, I think. And it'll be cool. If the wait is an hour or less, I think it's worth.
Isn't there like Arkham World or something coming out also?
I don't know what the hell it is.
No, it's a prequel, so it's the
Arkham
Batman
Origins.
Year one.
Arkham
Fetus. What is this
Origins.
Called?
Arkham Origins.
Yeah. Okay.
That'll be there.
Okay.
I was listening to the Giant Bomb podcast and they were saying, oh, it's a little weird because like Batman has like slightly better gadgets in some ways than the other Arkham games. But it's supposed to be a prequel. It's like, dude, what happened to all your cool shit? And later on,
the red
what the hell?
Telephone, you know?
yeah. Slides down the pole,
yeah,
gets
exactly.
in the crappy car.
They're doing a comic book set in that era.
Really?
Batman 66.
Really?
It is great.
Yeah.
I have no idea if kids would like it at all. I have no idea if anybody that's in their teens or 20s, but anybody that's ever been exposed on TV 39.
Yeah. Bring it in.
Dallas Fort Worth area.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, they hit it. It's note perfect. I mean, it's actually, it's a refreshing take on that.
I listened to an interview that he did on Saunders' podcast. He sounds like he knows his shit. It sounds like a lot of fun.
God, that this just keeps
did the Batcave have, like, labels over everything with Bat? And
They had like a 5-minute conversation in the interview about that King Tut character that's like only in that show.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, okay, this guy knows his shit.
There's a bat espresso in the back. Yeah, only if you notice it in the background. And it's just, boy, they really nailed it. The Riddler.
I think they're going to do like a. How, like, they would turn the camera on site to show them climbing up the wall.
They didn't do it, but they did do the whole,
that's coming.
Like, have a cameo where somebody, whoever sticks their head out of the window and sees them is a cameo.
Mm-hmm.
They did that. I think my favorite little element that, again, you just read and breeze right by it. But like when Batman gives a little extra attention to Catwoman, the drawing on Robin's face, he's not pleased.
Robin, awesome.
It's just this little frown. You can see it.
Oh, so which Catwoman is it?
Oh, it's a.
Is it the Eartha kid or Newmar?
Julie Newmar?
Yeah,
Julie or Julia?
Julie, I believe.
Oh, man, it's been too long. I can't remember.
Oh, that's Wong Fu.
Oh, my God, it's beautiful.
Wow. So I guess DC's also making all their Superman stuff more coherent with Man of Steel now. They're making him... I heard something about them making him kill somebody at some point to make it like...
Oh, yeah. Dr. Zhivago.
Dr. Zhivago.
What?
I nearly spoiled. Spoilers.
Spoilers. We'll just
we always do that.
Okay, he kills Dr. Light.
Yeah, Dr. Light. Again. Mm-hmm. Dr. Light gets the shit again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this time it was... New 52.
Yeah.
God.
I just noticed that's like, oh, well, we gotta cover this up with some more crap, so I keep digging.
The difference here is that the comic book Superman shows remorse for having killed somebody. The movie Superman... makes out.
No. He clutched her around the waist, right in the pelvic area. Very distraught. And then he got over it really fast.
Zod's dead, baby! Zod's dead!
Nice.
Spoilers.
He's not Bruce Willis from Pulp Fiction. That would have been awesome.
Nobody thought of that?
That's awesome.
Well, he did give her the oral pleasure, presumably while on his knees there, but
man.
Possibly in the air. I would like to think that Superman could do that.
I don't want to think about it at all.
Well, I mean,
it's the American way.
It's the American.
Come on now.
Okay, before I forget, the other Google product I wanted to ask about, the one that is mired in controversy, Glass.
Oh, Google Glass.
Apparently costs as much as a fucking car or some shit.
No, it's $1,500.
$1,500.
Okay. Oh, it's a prototype.
But here's the thing. Oh. Yeah,
you have to go to San Fran to get it.
You're only buying it if, like...
If you're a press...
You're a huge douchebag.
You're
Lacuna
support.
So, if you're tech press or, like, somebody who's really well-known on the internets, then you have a chance to get it. But it's a prototype program. It's not intended for commercial use. Like, is that intended for consumers?
Just drop in the arcade.
The whole point, it's like a beta. It's like a beta. You shell out $1,500 for the privilege of possibly getting one.
And throw in the flight to San Fran.
Whoa. If you put $1,500
in you get one.
It's just when. Like, there's a question of when. And then they'll call you out to the Google campus in one of many Google campuses, and they'll fit you with one. It's called the Explorer Edition for a reason. Like, it's not the finished product.
I don't like the verb fit me with one. It makes me feel like Matt Damon from Elysium. Yeah.
Get out the bone saw! This ain't gonna kill me.
I don't know. I don't feel good about that.
Yeah.
So, let's say it's $400 when it comes out. $500.
Probably somewhere in that ballpark. Yeah.
I spend money not to have growths on my face right now. I don't understand.
Yeah, I think you probably if they could do a convergence between that and a cell phone, then you start thinking about it.
Well, yeah.
But it has to not be as obvious as it is, because like as unobtrusive as it seems, people are really keyed into faces and it's disturbing. And like number two,
question before you go on to number two, do you think there's signaling effect there?
What do you mean?
The idea that they want it to be obtrusive, so it's like, ha-ha, I've got Google Glass, and you don't, motherfucker.
Well, to an extent, sure, yeah. But like, my signal back is, leave.
So, you just punch a guy in the urinal next to you because he's wearing
yeah. Like, seriously, don't look over this divider and put that on the internet. God damn. See, I don't know, man.
So I was thinking, like, couldn't that...
I'm with you. I think it's utterly retarded, but...
Couldn't the privacy issues be solved with, like, a simple swivel that just moves the camera so it points up when you're not using it? So, like, all they could ever record is the sky. Yeah, exactly. Like,
except for the guys that are, like, at the mall, and they're, like, bending over time in their shoes. And
all right, well, but that's kind of obvious. Also, you can just kick them in the face. But I was just wondering if, like, that maybe they could help with something like that. Although, I don't know how sensitive the electronics in there would be to adding a swivel mechanism.
Does it have Wi-Fi? Is that it?
It connects to Bluetooth, via Bluetooth to your phone, which then connects to the internet.
All
right. Okay.
Yeah. And there's like a a touch like sensitive area on the side, so you can navigate up, down, left, right along the side of your glasses. You can also use voice, and it right. does like some sort of bone conduction okay. thing.
And then you can post.
Again, terrifying.
Yeah.
Post to Facebook, post to Twitter. And,
yeah, there's apps for Facebook. It's like your cell phone. It's got apps for Facebook and Twitter.
Kind of like a, I'm going to say Siri, but whatever the.
Google Now. There's a Google, yeah, there's a Google Now thing. And there's also voice control, Jesus. I think was what I was going to say.
Once this thing breaks, Vine is going to be full of porn. You
first,
just
first
know.
Porn is an interesting concept.
There's already companies trying to do that, and actually against the Google, the current Google Glass Terms of Service, they talked about this on
do
Twitter.
Do not show us your junk.
On the Twitter podcast, I think they talked about this. Like, there's already companies trying to make porn with it, I guess, but they're not allowed to in
yes,
Terms of Service.
That's what companies do.
Porn companies do.
Yeah.
I mean,
honestly, like, it kind of goes the wrong way. Like, the kind of glasses that you want for porn are the kind that immerse you in another reality, not ones that, like, skim off the top of yours. Right? Like, if they wanted to sell a real porn device, they'd be selling us Jordy's glasses. But
Jordy's glasses.
This would be a cock ring with Bluetooth connectivity to your phone.
Wow.
Wow.
That probably exists already.
Now, we stopped leaving the house, though. Society crumbles.
It's all about teledildonics.
Oh, that's terrible.
But asymptotically approaching perfection. So, you know,
it's okay.
So, yeah, Google Glass is interesting. Like, it does, like, to do, like, a Google search, you're supposed to say, like, okay, Glass, search, blah, and you just say that, and it searches. But it's not keyed to your voice, so anyone can just go in front of you while you're wearing Google Glass. Okay, Glass, search Lemon Party. Bam. Instant disturbance. Like, you don't have to even...
I feel lucky. Okay, Glass, I feel lucky, tub girl.
It's pretty bad. So I think they got a lot of stuff to figure out. Yeah.
So that's what you yell out when somebody in Google Glass comes into your bathroom with you.
Okay, Glass. Glass.
Two girls, one cup. Oh! Oh!
I'm going to have a password on mine. I'm going to be like, okay, Google Glass, my voice is my passport. Verify me.
Yeah, they haven't figured out how to, like, key it to your voice yet, so anyone can kind of...
What? That's so
cool
technology.
Yeah, I know.
You,
or at least not effectively.
The 80s.
And you can take a picture, you can tap the side of your glasses, or you can wink, like, really, really hard. Though. You can't just, like, blink your eye. You actually have to be, like, strain, and then it, like, takes a picture.
Oh, my God, that's disconcerting.
But,
so we're right back where we started.
Yeah.
No one's looking at what's actually happening.
Yeah, it doesn't completely take over your vision, right? It's like a transparent thing
winking.
In the top. As far as the interface goes, just describing what it looks like, because I've seen pictures and videos, it's an overlay on the top kind of right of your vision, like kind of a little far off, and it's transparent, semi-transparent, so you can it doesn't completely take over your right eye.
Incidentally, Rob Liefeld characters have no problem convincing Google Glass to take pictures for them.
Their eyes are always... closed.
Yeah, but their teeth are gritted. They can't talk to it.
They also can't take a photo of their feet because they don't have them.
They have feet like appendages.
Wouldn't it be great if, like, Rob Liefeld had a Google Glass and could see the world through Rob Liefeld's eyes?
God.
It'd be very cross-hatchy.
I bet he never looks at anybody's feet. Watch for 20 minutes.
I've never seen
that. Man, speaking of Liefeld and just Image Comics, I was looking at their digital store, which is awesome, by the way, that they have all their stuff on there.
Oh, yeah.
But $350 for an issue, for digital only issue, is a little steep. Like, I wanted to do the, what's it called? East of West, that's what it's called.
Because
I wanted to
John
get that.
Because John Bickman is awesome.
Issue number
East
one.
Meets West.
East of West.
East, oh, okay.
Issue number one, $3.50, digital only. DRM free, but
no,
damn.
Give us a buck, guy. Give it for a buck.
Ouch. I would give even, the you first know, to free. Like, to like, let, to like, show them that I want this type of thing, I would even be willing to pay a little more, but $3.50? That's
is a little bit more,
little
though,
bit,
than a growing comic, though.
That's a lot. I would give him $2.50, $2,
yeah,
sure.
That's a little shit. It was 99 cents.
Yeah.
On Comixology.
Yeah, but yeah. Like, and the other thing to remember is that now they're not paying distribution. And
yeah, there's like, there are all these
well,
costs.
Actually, it's
should
not
be
necessarily true. It's not clear.
They
got
to pay server costs or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah, but it's not clear whether they're running the store themselves or whether they're farming it out to somebody.
True.
In which case, the distribution middleman is just a different guy. Right?
True.
It's not clear that Image has the expertise to
true.
Like, run
true.
Such a thing.
That was a little painful.
I
haven't decided to.
I listened to a press release they did, and I don't think they actually addressed that. That's interesting.
Like the stuff that, what's his name, Marcos Martin is doing with...
Daredevil?
Like, no, their own... it's called The Private Eye. It's like their own comic that they're doing independently at Panel Syndicate. Like, you can pay whatever you want for those. You can download the same format.
Yeah.
And I was like, I paid him $3 for the first issue just to say, dude, this is awesome, keep doing this.
Yeah.
But you can get those for free. Like, I just, I don't know. It's compared to, you know, it's just slightly disappointing, I guess. I'm still jazzed for,
you know, owning comics again?
I get the trades. I do support the printed stuff. It's just the singles that never really made financial sense to me. And
they did once upon a time, but that's been a long time ago.
And the digital stuff, I wish were just in better shape. Like, you know, you're just renting them from Comixology. We've talked about this before.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, just $3.50 for a single.
It's worth bitching about again, though, I feel. Until I stop doing that shit.
But by God, it looks pretty.
The digital stuff? Yeah, sure. Looks good on a screen.
Yeah.
Hard to the trade paperbacks look good in real life.
Batman 66. You know, the animation there. I mean, you got to read it digitally. That's the best way.
Okay.
Hands down.
Does it have like that?
And they have really interesting coloring that's going on with it, too.
Yeah, I looked a little bit up just now while we were talking. Just to get a look for it. Look, it looks good. Yeah, you're right. That definitely is Julie Newmar. I love the old school Batmobile, too. That's good stuff.
If the artist can't differentiate between Julie Newmar and Eartha Kitt,
you
need a new Batman artist.
By Jeff Parker. Oh, it's the Thunderbolts guy. Interesting.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So, video game related. Sorry, I know we're kind of jumping around here.
No. We cover what I wanted to.
Returns, the video game from Harebrained Schemes that was kickstarted about a year ago, came out on Thursday or Friday.
For what? For PC?
Yeah, it's PC. It's Steam, so it's PC, Mac. It'll eventually be Linux. They're working right now on. So, they got a bunch of stretch goals. So, they. Like, one of the next stretch goals. One of the first stretch goals was like basically like a mission creator so you can, you know, do stories in Shadowrun Returns. And then the next one, the thing they did was add another setting, and they did Berlin for the second setting, which to me is pretty awesome. Like, Seattle's the default setting for... Nice. Seattle's the default setting for Shadowrun.
I hope,
like,
the mic
Berlin
picked that
is
up.
Actually a really cool Shadowrun setting too, so I'm excited for that. But they're going to have a Linux version... I haven't played it yet because, you know, I don't like really have a working Windows machine right now. So
this is set in Shadowrun universe.
So
it's a first person shooter. What is this?
It's a third person like
narrative.
It's a third person like team sort of action RPG ish thing. So like you're three quarters overhead, like Diablo ish, I guess.
Okay.
So you're like three quarters overhead, but you've got a party and you like. Control the members of the party. So it's pretty cool.
Final Fantasy.
I was about to say, is that a Final
Fantasy? Except usually in Final Fantasy, you're just walking around with one character, and then when you fight, you it breaks like the
Zoo,
zoo, zoo, zoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Encounters or whatever, like they do in
Yeah.
It's not quite the right word. It's not like an MMO. But, so it's kind of a nifty looking game. It's got an old school feel to it. But the gameplay actually looks really cool. I haven't actually played it yet.
Gotcha.
But I will fire up my Windows machine and patch it, and then like in a day or two I'll be playing possibly
in 48 hours after the patching is done.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
my machine grows like red hair and giant feet.
Turn into a frozen clown.
Try this patch.
Metallic sparkles.
Yeah, then you bring up, I wonder what else will show up at PAX.
Shadowrun 5, the tabletop game, also just came out.
That'll probably be in the tabletop area.
Yeah, yes, it will.
Tabletop. So is this
a
new RPG or something else altogether?
No, just like a pen and paper RPG, just like.
Okay, cool.
So SR5 is the newest edition.
SR5, got it.
So SR4, I think we played SR4 a little bit, like a long ass time ago.
I thought we played three. I think four has come out since then.
Yeah, probably, actually. We played probably... Yeah, when I ran... That was a long time ago, but I've mostly played three. I loved three. 3 is ridiculous. Like, it has all kinds of crazy-ass fucking shit that goes on. Like, the rolling system is weird. And so, of course, Matt hated it because he was, this could be game.
Has he ever been on a podcast?
The math just doesn't work out for Matt. But it is hilariously fun. And actually, one of the things that I...
he's about to lose his shit. This is a sore point right now.
In SR3... It's something that they're returning to in D&D 5, and that kind of makes me happy. And that is getting rid of the map, getting rid of the tile-based stuff. Because, like, you can do the tile-based stuff, and it can be fun, but my opinion is that most of the time people start worrying too much about it, and it gets to be, like, you know, somebody sits there and is like, I can move 6 squares, and it's like, fuck you. Like, describe what you want to do and make it happen. I realize it puts load on the DM, and to an extent, it puts load on some cognitive load on the players. But, like, if people can learn to just relax a little bit, you can have a lot of fun without the map and just like,
I
have some more, like, epic kind of feeling to it.
I do support the idea that they could take the map away, because sometimes it's not convenient to have a map. I love playing with it. That's my preference, but...
You prefer with the map?
I really do. Oh, I enjoy that tactical part of the fight.
See, like, there's so much crazy shit that goes on
but the ability
have a map. And, like, the DM just has to keep track of it, or the GM, whichever, has to keep track of that. But
it's doable. That's how we played second edition, like, when we were little,
that's
you know?
True. And I remember at PAX East, we played fifth with no maps, right?
We did, and that was a nightmare. That's why the mines made you mad. I didn't tell you this. We had an MIT freshman, like with his fucking graph paper
that.
Over there, like, drawing that fucking thing out. 5 hours later, we're all weeping, but I mean...
I don't know. My players didn't have too much trouble with that. And I might have been too generous in terms of, like, helping them remember where they've gone, but... You have to, like, they're not used to it. You got to ease them into it. But I think if you have a party that, like,
I love having the option
without the tiles, I'm totally happy with that. You can just, there's crazy shit that, like, otherwise it's like, well, your hands are tied. You can't.
Give me an example. I think you can do crazy shit with a map.
You know, the map tends to end up being, like, really, like, everything is you get kind of a binary answer to questions like, can I do this? No, sorry.
Well, fuck,
like,
that DM.
Well, yeah, exactly. I guess, but, like, that, it lends itself easily to, like, that style of DMing where it's just, like, you know, the DM is just an arbiter of the rule book. He's, like, the avatar of the DMG. It's, like, it's kind of boring.
Which avatar? Blue Avatar? Last Airbender Avatar?
It's Korra.
Nice.
I don't know anything about these things. Jokes.
Yeah.
I'm already out with Korra.
I think Korra is the correct answer, but actually, in this case, I was using it in a bad way, so I guess not. I got
Shyamalan
then.
Shyamalan it.
Yeah, yeah.
Airbender.
Yeah.
I have understood nothing since Matt.
Anyway, GTA 5, another one that I think will probably be around.
Yes.
All right, what's the awesome accent we're getting this time?
There's three different guys.
Yeah, three different characters.
Black dude. There's
okay.
Black dude.
That's a...
Is there a chick yet?
No female main character.
Need a female protagonist in the GTA series.
The trailer is awesome because the guy's, like, walking down the street, and there's some woman with a, like, well-endowed woman on the, like, just a few feet off the side.
A cleavage monster, I got it.
But it's not even, like, a focus of the scene. And it just, as he's walking, he just kind of looks and then just keeps right on going. And it's like, wow, they've really coded in some special attention to detail that any guy walking by would just get a little peek and then keep right on walking.
That's nice.
And he does it.
Darth City has tweeted something pretty hilarious that your well-endowed woman reminded me of.
I like where this is going.
Apparently, he tweeted that the French phrase for, a large-breasted woman is, like, translates literally as the balcony is full.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
That is, yeah.
The balcony is full. Yes.
We have our episode title. We're just not going to top that.
top gun it. I recommend you top gun it. You know,
pull out?
Negative Ghost Rider, the balcony is full.
Nice.
That's what I mean.
There it is.
What are you guys going to be playing these games on?
I already pre-ordered a PS4, man.
You did?
I had pre-ordered.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll probably get an Xbox One as well, but I'll start with a PS4 and see what
he's going. You gonna do both?
Yeah, I'll probably do both this time.
So, tell me the online component of this.
Well, the Xbox did the Xbox 180, so they're all kind of the same now. They're
nice.
It doesn't have to be online.
It's called
all
a
the
desk
time
role.
At all.
There's,
yeah.
But
there's
I'm not really talking about
delivery prep anymore.
Like, I know the Sony with
the
Xbox is pretty straightforward. You've got Xbox Live.
Yeah.
And so you sign up, you're paying $55 a year or whatever.
Yeah.
Sony.
Basically the same thing, except it's called PlayStation Network. You just, to play multiplayer, you pay $50 to $60.
Remember
a year.
That thing?
So the only way you can play multiplayer is if you're paying.
That's, yep.
That's
so
new with the
that's the PS4.
Well,
that's new with the PS4. And with the PS3, you don't have to pay anything. You can play multiplayer for free.
Yeah.
PlayStation,
what do they call that? PlayStation Plus?
Yeah, you have to be basically a PlayStation Plus member.
You're
which
a PlayStation
is what the
Plus
gold,
member, right?
Like. The gold level in Xbox Live is what
so
PlayStation Plus is.
What is the
thing
that's driving the PS4 for you guys more than the Xbox?
I like their indie developer support. I think they're going to have a lot of cooler indie games to start. I'm sure Microsoft will catch up. I like what they showed first off.
Hardware
is basically the same as the Xbox One.
Slightly
better. More RAM, basically, and GDDR5.
Yeah.
So it's faster RAM.
Faster RAM, better processor.
Actually,
it's
slightly
better. Similar.
But all those things
it's
are
going
to change with the next round of...
No. They never upgrade the... consoles never get upgraded hardware-wise because, like, then you couldn't... Like,
you can't guarantee
every
that...
Every PS4 has to be able to play every PS4 game.
Oh,
so, like, no PS3 has more than 256 megs of RAM because if you started making them with more, then people would make games that would take advantage of that.
And then the balcony would be full.
What are you getting?
You're getting... It's the same hardware capability.
It's just cheaper for them to make. Yeah, it's just cheaper for them to make. Same with the Xbox,
those are all
right?
Cost reduction.
Like the Xbox, the white, when they went from white to like the black, the smaller, the slimmer black, and they even have a slimmer one now. They just came out with a slimmer one.
Really?
It's just cheaper for them to make. It's nothing else other than that.
Xbox 361, Xbox 362.
Yeah. They got rid of the Red Ring of Death problem and like a harder rev, and they've been trying to slim it down, make it cheaper to make ever since. Every they do this every time.
What is I say this, but I had one of the very original generation
so
PS3s with the.
I've had one of those melt down on me.
Oof.
But I
heard
still
remember.
I still had the original generation PS3. It still works.
Yeah.
I have to update it.
I had to. I had to replace my hard drive. That I did have to do.
I upgraded mine.
Again, I don't play many games.
So I think hardware wise,
my hard drive crashed. So
I bought the PS3 largely for the Blu-ray capability, and then Xbox and Xbox Live.
Yeah.
But now,
Xbox One will play
Blu-ray.
The Xbox One will play Blu-ray.
I know.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of in a situation.
That's why he's asking.
Do I just stick with Xbox, but I don't like what they're trying to do with, you know,
Connect
and everything has, all this.
They reversed all that, most of that.
But that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
They may reverse it right back again in 2 years.
Yeah, or they'll
build.
Yeah, they'll build it up slowly or
right.
something, depending on where the market goes.
There is something to be said for the point of view that, like, there is maybe some improvement to be made to the way that the market works today. Like, after they announced that they reversed their position on this, there was this sort of impassioned, anonymous post that sort of circulated talking from nominally from a Microsoft employee talking about how people had totally missed the point. And that
sure,
it's a better model for games.
I think well, Microsoft.
I don't necessarily agree that it's true, but it's at least something worth considering. Like, there is something to be said for like allowing people to make money from used games and sort of enabling.
I think Steam is the best example of like that's how PC games work for the most part. Yes, you can go to buy them in a store and just buy a DVD-ROM or whatever, but no one does that anymore. Everybody buys their. You do. You don't buy stuff on Steam.
Adamant that I'm getting as much physical crap as I can.
Okay.
I want a physical copy.
Yes. Explain this to me.
Steam is a de facto standard.
So
I can't jettison that shit as fast as possible.
Movies.
I'm familiar with the concept.
Okay.
Let's say, motion pictures, Cyrus.
Let's say you were after
cinematic adventures.
Let's say you were after Neophyte. And that everything of yours was Apple. And you gave up all your discs and bought everything through Apple TV.
Why would I do that?
Well, I'm just saying, you would adopt some standard, whether it's through Apple TV or it's I'm going to get everything on Amazon or whatever it is, but you adopt that one. Now, right now, it sounds absurd that Amazon or Netflix or Apple would ever go away.
But if they ever did go away...
Same as Comixology. You're renting those movies. They're exactly. DRM and they're...
If it
DRM
went away, you've got nothing. At all.
Now, the difference with Steam... The difference with Steam and PC games...
I was about to say, Steam, I get it. It's
the difference with Steam and PC games is you're doing something similar, but Valve has pledged that they have a dead man switch, and if they ever go out of business, you get all your games... You can download them all. You can play them infinitely. They will undo all the DRM.
Somebody buys them out. And that's my paranoia, is that you're taking something on faith. And
I trust in Gabe Newell's ability to be a gigantic asshole and do it anyway, even if they got bought out.
Yeah.
In Gabe's assholeness, I trust.
What, like Kevin Flynn?
Like, Gabe Newell is a very opinionated Valve is a very opinionated guy.
Steam probably owned.
Yeah, Valve Entertainment is privately owned, and
management.
They make money hand over fist on Steam so much that they don't even with Netflix or Apple or Amazon.
I agree. Look at what's, and again, trust me, I have
Comixology,
iPad,
the same
iPhone, everything. You know,
that's fair. I haven't adopted Comixology because of this phenomenon. That's mm-hmm. why we were so excited about the image thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the movies I still want, I do buy the Blu-ray.
Yes.
I'm excited that... I think very soon that will go away as well.
I hope it
does. But, replaced with a digital download, you know, you purchase it and you have that. It goes on a hard drive somewhere.
Yeah, I can get something that I have, but I don't think they're going to let me do that.
No. Yeah. And, I mean, with consoles, though, like, it's a weird locked-in relationship, right? Because... You get a PS3 game, let's say you download it from Sony instead of buying the physical copy. It doesn't matter. You're only going to play it on a PlayStation, or you're only going to play it on Xbox.
On the other hand, when the PlayStation Network was down for months and months,
you had a bunch of shit you couldn't play,
right?
And the onus is on both console manufacturers to make that not happen more when they start doing day-and-day digital releases.
Yeah, but the difference for me between like Xbox One doing that and Steam doing that is... Steam is not the only thing I could do on my PC.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
If I want to, like, tomorrow, I could still go to the store and get something else. Right? I could
Or you could just watch cat videos.
Yeah, but whatever, right? But if the Xbox... If Microsoft is just...
But that was the point.
If Microsoft is like, you know, something happens and they decide to turn off the Switch...
Well,
whatever.
Look at what Microsoft's going through right now. I mean, the Android is outselling it, you know, hand over fist, and... In the past, I mean, it's been the same pattern where they were very good at establishing a new market. And they were also, Steve Jobs' greatest thing he could do was setting up the manufacturing where they were always a good 6 months to a year ahead of everybody else. And he had those manufacturing contracts locked
in.
But now everybody's caught up on that technology.
Since Jobs' death, Apple has fallen.
Let's clarify a few things here. Like, if you download a game on an Xbox One from Xbox Live, you don't buy a physical copy. It's on the hard drive of your Xbox.
Right.
If your internet dies or the entire Azure Microsoft cloud goes away, if you can boot up that Xbox, you can play that game.
No. They had a call-in. The downloadable games had once every 24 hours, you got a phone home. It was not always phone home, but it was once per day. That was built into the original.
You're using a past tense. Is that still the case?
I thought that reversed that.
No. They changed that as of... they changed
pretty
that
sure
at the same
tough.
Time they changed the policy. Well, no. I don't think they actually did it change the phone home policy for downloadable games. But they just said that they won't be doing the thing where you have to, like, get the physical copy keyed to your
Xbox. They undid all that.
They
got rid of the 24-hour thing, too. They said that all that's
gone. I've heard that. They're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all gone.
And I know nothing about
Sony won't have that either. So, again, though, like... If your PlayStation's hard drive dies and Sony's cloud dies and everything falls apart,
and Pacific Rim,
and we need Idris Elba to come out and cancel this apocalypse, then you may be fucked. You may not be able to play your games.
Yeah.
But I think because of the locked-in nature of those consoles, and yes, they want to be all those other things, but they're pretty much just to play games, like at their core, as much as Microsoft wants to believe.
I'm going past consoles. I'm talking in general.
Okay, yeah, but I think the consoles are a special case. It's kind of what I'm saying. They're a special case where you're only going to be able to play those on those anyway. You're not going to want to play
a
PS4 game on your iPad and a PC and a TV.
Let's say everything else crashes and you've still got your console for how long?
Until it dies.
Right,
until it breaks.
Exactly. And my Nintendo still works.
Yeah.
But my Xbox died.
Hey, emulators are forever.
Xbox.
Emulators are forever.
Okay, so this is actually a really good point. Like,
That's the new Bond film's name, actually.
Nintendo. Edit.
That's the one for this round.
Like, when you bought a Nintendo, you were spending money on the games, etc., but, like, it's not a conduit between you and Nintendo's pocket, right? It's just, like, you...
Yeah, but it was also an 8-bit system. This is always where things are
going
to go.
I realize that, right? But, like, the way that things are going now, like, the Xbox One is no longer, like, this machine for which I buy software and then play it in the comfort of my home, right?
Yeah.
This is, like, a link between me and Microsoft.
Absolutely. Just the way they want it.
My money goes to them and their entertainment company.
Yeah. Just the way they want it.
It's the same thing as an iPad. It's the same thing as a...
Yeah, entertainment in general is going that way, right?
Absolutely.
Like, the devices are just a conduit, like you said.
Yeah, only if you make that commitment to them.
That's true. Yeah.
If you don't make them, that's not a hard copy.
As long as they give you that option. If they stop giving you that option, what choice do you have?
I'm not going to buy the games anymore. That's my
choice. That's a lifestyle change, right? That's a lifestyle.
Well,
that's a different
lifestyle.
No,
not for me.
No, he was born that way. Come on.
It's
a choice.
I was born that way. My children were born, and then the lifestyle.
I'm just saying, if you can't get books, if you can't get physical books because Amazon's going to sell them only to you, if you can't get games because Sony and Microsoft are only going to sell them to you online, you can't get movies because only Amazon and Apple and Netflix.
Here's the other thing.
Actually, the strange thing
there
is
are multiple distributors.
There are.
I mean, I already leverage Amazon against Apple, for example.
Netflix.
Why I have a Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
As long as all but one of them die, that's the nightmare scenario.
Competition is good. Competition is good. Now, there are some technical underpinnings as far as DRM that I don't like no matter who does it. I'd rather have any DRM. You know, content at all. I'm with you there, Keisha. I don't care about the physical thing if I can get something DRM free electronically.
Yes,
I'd rather that.
I agree.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why I like companies like Image. $350 for a goddamn comic book is a little too much.
Yeah. That's what got me into iTunes was when they released the DRM.
Yeah, Amazon has DRM.
And Jobs fought for that.
Yeah, that was the only way I was going to commit to it. Yeah. You know, he knew that there were still old farts that were holding on to the physical copy, but going to your distributor discussion though, so that means you would lose half your shit.
Not if Amazon and Netflix offer the same thing.
This has happened to me once before already.
When
Napster 2.0, I decided I didn't like it. I just ported all that shit over.
Let's say he's a Prime member and he buys half of the stuff that he buys through Amazon,
mm-hmm.
and the other stuff he purchases through Apple or whatever else, Netflix or purchase. I guess if you're just talking streaming, that's something else.
Right, precisely. Sure. But I do buy from... I bought from iTunes today. I got the Cascade album.
But you bought it and then you downloaded the stuff and now you can cancel your account tomorrow.
It's not like you're...
Maybe I should preface
Spotify
that that's the only stuff I'm going to buy.
Yeah, okay.
Spotify is like a better example. Spotify, RDO, anything where you're streaming content. Anything where or it's DRM, it's encoded with DRM.
Yeah. Right. I think that's fun.
Like, I'm going to buy Image Comics.
Google, whatever they call that shit.
Google Music,
Google
All Access.
You're paying a subscription fee for a service.
That's cool.
The DRM is like the in-between, right? The DRM-laden stuff is in-between, is worse than Spotify and not as good as DRM. And Comixology is like that. And any video service, like the music stuff's different for Amazon and Apple, but I think the video stuff is still all DRM, out the wazoo.
Yeah.
And like their last bastion of stuff as they try to connect.
I guess it's the movie theater.
Because the movie companies have more clout than the music ones did.
Precisely.
The music companies got hoodwinked.
One of them, I think, will eventually like give it a shot.
But
and
you
then
say hoodwinked, and that's not really true. Like, there's no evidence, like, there's good evidence that the opposite is true. Like, there's good evidence that removing the DRM and making the experience for legitimate users good has actually been an important part of the success in that.
What I mean by hoodwinked is just that the people like Steve Jobs and whoever else had to lobby for it. The music companies didn't initially want it to be that way.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's all I mean.
But we like honestly, those assholes. Why would we stop fucking them?
My attitude towards piracy is pretty... Like, obviously, I don't want to get slapped with a lawsuit or whatever, but like... Honestly, if pirates are getting better user experience than me as a paying customer, then I'm not going to be a paying customer. I'm just going to pirate it. Right?
I think that's the challenge for the companies.
And companies that are using a ton of DRM in their product, like what's Civ 5 is like the
SimCity.
SimCity rather.
Yeah, the new SimCity.
Was like
terrible.
Yeah, it, like, they added all this DRM. It was awful. The user experience is bad. Mm-hmm. And then if you pirate it, like, it's now it's a better game. It's like, okay, guys, you're incentivizing me to pirate this game. That is not what you're... you got this backwards here. Yeah. Right?
A lot of those guys left. I think a lot of the Maxis people, after that whole fiasco, left EA and formed their own company, and they're making something else that's SimCity-like now.
They're making SimCity. Shim-shitty.
Don't you mean the SimCity? No.
Cybertropolis. No. That's it. Cybertropolis. Shim-shitty. Yeah. So, that was a joke. Yeah, that, but, that was really bad. And then always online connection is part of these new DRM schemes where you're constantly supposed to be online to try to authenticate yourself. It's just as bad. And I hope that stuff goes away. That SimCity thing was such a huge fiasco that EA's got a ton of egg on their face related to that.
Yeah, they don't give a shit.
They do and they don't. They're not in great financial shape, EA.
Good.
They have a lot of challenges to overcome in this next generation of games. So
I will give you a concrete example. Image Comics, I believe percentage-wise, their digital sales are outpacing DC and Marvel right now.
Not surprised.
Really?
Yeah. I need to double check, but even if it's close, given how much smaller Image is and doesn't have Warner Brothers or fucking
Disney
behind it, I mean, come on.
A lot of good writers vaulting for Image and others.
Yes.
Yeah,
or
a lot of good writers.
The best case right now is they're doing both. Marvel's like keeping some of those guys, but they're all Hickman's also running around in Image.
Saga, man, Saga's
on
there. It's like, Good on them.
I'm buying Saga digitally. I'm buying it on...
If little guys can outsell these giant corporations just by doing it right, that bodes well, I think.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I guess it remains to be seen. Technology is constantly changing, and they're trying to figure out a way to...
Yeah, I learned a lot tonight. No shit.
And you got to be careful as a consumer, I think. Man, this is really getting to be like a hard-hitting after-school special here on technology. But like as a consumer, you got to be really freaking careful about what the hell you're buying.
Yeah.
And think about it, because, like Keyshawn was just saying, you buy a movie on iTunes, you're not going to be able to watch that on your non-Apple anything if you're, like, traveling or
mm-hmm.
anything like that.
Yeah.
So if you've got a mixed, kind of ecosystem in your place where you've got Android and iOS and OS X and Windows and whatever, Linux...
That guy. I have a little bit of everything.
So, you're not going to be your entertainment data is not portable between those things.
It works pretty well.
You get DRM,
I have to say,
stuff.
But
if you make the right choices.
Well, I pirate. I'm going to be real honest. I don't buy the DRM shit. So
with music, if you go to iTunes or Amazon, it's a DRM free. You're cool as far as music is concerned.
Music
is the furthest ahead, I would say.
Yep.
Books way behind. Way behind.
Napster forced them to.
Yeah.
No, books are.
It was adapt or die.
Books are in the same
spot where, like,
I have a Kindle. I love the idea. I like using the Kindle.
Yeah.
I love it.
Reading?
But it's DRM. It's smacked of DRM.
Yeah, I'll still buy Kindle books for in some cases for convenience sake. Like, honestly, in the case of books, that's one case where I am willing to do it because, number one, they're usually pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And number two, books are enough of a time commitment that often, like, when you buy a physical book, you read it once or twice and then it sits on your shelf for a long time.
True.
So, like, I get approximately the same enjoyment out of reading my Kindle book once, and then maybe it goes away forever. That's okay, because maybe I was never going to read the book again anyway.
Yeah.
And there's a side benefit. I tend to buy a lot of books, and they take up a shitload of space.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so that's
all. We are all collectors
Kindle
here, though. So
sure. I don't want to collect books.
How
though.
Often? Look, give me a percentage. Each of you, when you're buying something and you buy it digitally to read it or not, what's the percentage of books that you still want to get a hard copy for so you have it on your shelf?
Depends. Depends on whether
it's
a
percentage.
If it's
no, I'm not saying.
Is it a series? If it's a series,
I'm saying,
I want it. I want
all the books
series,
that
right?
you read. What's the percentage that you would get digitally?
I'm reading so few novels
right now.
It's tough for me
novels,
to speak
comics,
to it.
Either one,
I'm reading my first
novels,
book.
Novels 100% digital, almost. Now.
Really?
Almost,
yeah.
90-something percent digital.
So
comic books, the other way. I like to get those trades. I like to have them. The artwork is much easier to appreciate. It's mostly because I like to appreciate the art better in the physical copy. The digital stuff's not quite there yet for me. Although with this image stuff, I may be changing my pace. But yeah. Books, I freaking hate having the clutter on the shelf. Like physical, like
yeah,
regular.
Yeah, you have a clean house,
books.
Right?
I have a clean life.
I know. I do not, and I also I'm jettisoning
all the more reason to have digital. All the more reason. To have
most
digital.
Of the novels just they don't have the presentation to make it worthwhile to have it on the damn shelf.
Okay, you know, as I'm looking through my Kindle right now, almost every book on my Kindle I have both physical and electronic versions.
What now?
Almost everything on here I have both.
So you're so if there's a fire, you're set. If there's an EMP shockwave, you're also set.
Yes.
You're yes. Okay, double redundancy.
If yes. The kaiju
however,
that has the
nuclear weapon will do both.
What about, that's true. That's true.
What about movies?
I buy a Blu-ray.
Blu-ray.
It's pretty rare
yeah.
that I buy
I'm pretty anything, physical so. On movies.
Really?
Yeah, although I will occasionally like rip them and store them that way so I can stream them without having to worry about pulling
that's
the disc
exactly
out.
What I do.
It's the best path. It's the best path to DRM-free yeah.
Exactly.
Content.
If you buy the physical item, you get
I buy films. I stream TV.
And like music is 100% digital. Like 100%.
And I stream a lot more TV than I
audio
file.
I still
buy TV. Aren't you way behind? Or are you like, do you pay for things like HBO Go, and so you're getting Game of Thrones right off
a little
the
bit
bat?
Of both.
Or
no, dude, you just pirate it, and you get it the same day
as no, I'm talking about legal.
That's like the most
methods.
Pirated show. Game of Thrones is like
right.
tops all the
no,
time.
No, I mean, come on. I'm serious about this. Television, you fucking pirate it because it's not available same day, and you're going to get spoilers.
But he was saying he streams, and so I was interested in, well, do you settle for being behind?
I settle for being behind for the
okay.
most part. I do Netflix and Amazon Prime. I watch a lot of anime, so that is actually cool. Anime's ahead. I subscribe
yeah.
to Crunchyroll,
mm-hmm.
and they simulcast between Japan and the U.S. So I get
and that's
my
a different
anime
country.
Series
that's
like,
hard shit.
Like 24 hours after it airs in Japan, I have a subtitled version of sitting in my
that's
PlayStation.
My lovely
and then he calls me and tells me how awesome
like,
Attack on Titan is.
We have
it is freaking
we
awesome.
Have to watch Walking Dead ASAP as possible. All my friends are tweeting and Facebooking about it
yeah.
and
it was a change for me because I wasn't always like
that.
Get
I that shit on my TV.
I will
you
either to answer your question.
Yeah,
I will either download it or we DVR it still.
Okay.
And iTunes, it's DRM laden. Don't get me wrong, but iTunes will sell you Game of Thrones episodes and
yeah.
Walking Dead and that stuff, right?
That,
get
that
the,
fast?
Yeah.
The
fast.
Price point's not really.
The price point's
week,
not great, and it's still DRM.
After.
It's not a good. It's not a good option,
right,
I would
yeah.
say. But if it's you know,
you can also Amazon will also sell you Game of Thrones episodes.
Very true.
I don't know if they're.
Yeah.
They're a little
I think
cheaper.
They're a little, and they're a little behind.
I think
they're not as.
But like I said, the best option there is pirating.
Or ask your friends for their HBO Go password. Apparently, that's a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah.
But
that's like a thing.
I do stream a lot, you know, perfectly legally because there's just so much good television that I am behind on goddamn everything. So.
Anybody watching Orange Is the New Black? On Netflix.
No, I saw an ad for it the other night, though.
It's pretty funny. It's quirky. It's like an HBO-style, like, comedy type thing. It's
yeah.
like black comedy type thing. It's pretty
funny. We watched Fawlty Towers last night from 75.
Fawlty Towers,
God.
Nice.
Yes, it was.
78, 79. 2 good years. I was literally looking at Fawlty Towers today.
Yeah. My father loves that show.
Oh, my God.
Fawlty Towers
German
awesome.
Episode.
Don't talk to us about the war.
Yeah.
God,
there's
oh,
too
man.
Much butter on those trays. Very good, senor. One, uno, dos, tres.
Such a good show.
Mantequilla.
I was watching that. I was watching Carol Burnett today.
Nice.
Wow.
We were watching the Carol Burnett
on
show.
Your earlobe? Or,
oh, no. This we're.
Is that the Wish reference?
No,
that's how she would say. Something
yeah, at the end of every episode, she would like,
or something
yeah, she
like
was like
that.
Saying,
oh.
hi to her
I'm not familiar with the show, so.
Really? It is the. It is
really is before I was born.
It's probably the fundamental reason I'm the weirdo I am today. And it took me watching it again to remember, like, I was watching this stuff at 3 and 4 years old.
Oh, wow.
And they're, you know, doing
man.
Sketch comedy live, essentially.
Yeah.
And,
my version of that is All in the Family.
All in the Family.
My parents loved that, and. Frankly, when I first saw it, it went over my head because it was, you
oh,
know,
sure, yeah.
it was.
So I was
super
a little bit
complex.
Older, but I got to be honest.
You're sending a
whole
show.
You know, it was in living color for me.
I was gonna say
in living color.
Interesting.
I was a little older than maybe you've been 3 or 4, but I was like, you know, between 6 and 9, I guess.
In Living Color
was awesome. My dad loved that show. Yeah, my dad loved that show, and he would sit me down, we would watch it together.
Nice.
In Living Color.
Unbelievable. In Living Color was
freaking hilarious.
Ass show.
Yeah.
To be honest. Do you guys ever watch Soap?
What did you watch with your parents?
When I was a kid,
Billy Crystal was the main.
And
was one of the main
Benson's character.
Yeah,
was in that too.
Yes. Mona's in it also.
Mona and I can't remember the name of that old white haired guy that was.
It's a funny ass show. I mean, it's like you watch it now and it's like, wow, this is a completely different kind of humor than anything I see. Mm. But I still laugh my ass off when I watch that show.
Much like Batman 66.
Bring it full circle.
Bring it around. Oh, that's good.
So what did you watch with your parents, Rio?
All in the Family.
What was your, like...
Like, for comedy?
Yeah. I mean,
mostly stand-up comedy.
What was the... I guess what I'm asking is, what was the thing as a kid that you and your parents could watch, and it was... You both really enjoyed the hell out of it.
My parents were glued to CNN, so, like, that would be me, it'd be Larry King.
So that explains...
The Situation Room?
I'll tell you, Larry King Live. That's what we... remember watching.
I watched a lot of TV with my parents.
Asking people questions.
I watched a lot of Kung Fu movies with my dad. In Living Color.
I love it.
No kidding, man.
That's awesome.
Living
years.
Color. Love that show.
Die Hard, obviously.
Die Hard. Oh, my Die Hard story. Have I told that on the podcast? Maybe not.
Let's make sure.
Okay. When did Die Hard come out?
86?
87? 1990. It was the awesomest
it's
year
true.
Ever, right?
Yeah, actually, I think Die Hard 2 came out in 1990.
Well, Die Hard 2, well, Die Harder.
This up. I didn't go with what I watched with my parents. I don't think I really watched that show with my parents.
Carol, but you just watched it on your own?
It was independent,
man.
Yeah, they were, my parents, oh, okay.
When I was 3 years old... My parents were having a party. I came running out like 11 at night. I came running into the living room because I'd been sneaking and watching TV.
1988.
And I had my shirt.
Okay.
And I'm going,
I was
going
to guess 87.
I'm a wild and crazy guy.
Nice. Actually, now that you mention that, it wasn't with my immediate family, but with my extended family, specifically on my mother's side, we watched a lot of the Saturday Night Live.
Stuff. Okay.
A lot of Saturday Night Live.
I didn't get into Saturday Night Live until I was in high school.
Wow.
Likewise.
Yeah.
Oh man,
so
that was like
you're my age. So does that mean you kind of missed the whole Phil Hartman era?
Yeah, I missed the whole Phil Hartman.
Oh,
I came in when I was in high school. It was like Will Ferrell was starting to.
Oh,
yeah.
I was like, don't pull out that thread. It's gonna make you sad.
It does make me sad.
And they're not your age.
So Die Hard came out in '88, and I didn't see it in theaters. Although I did see RoboCop in theaters.
Be fair, how old were you?
So in '88. It came out, but I didn't watch it until it was available for rental. That's where I'm getting at. So it's probably a little after.
On VHS.
On VHS, of course.
Yeah.
So I was like 6 or 7. So my dad rolls in. We roll into the rental place. Keyshawn's giving me this look.
You were born in the '80s.
I was born in the '80s, man.
God.
So was I.
So was he. Yeah.
I'm older than he is.
Rhea's only a little bit older than I am. Yeah.
I can remember. Lord, I thought you were
brother. I'm only 3 months removed.
So we're in the movie rental place looking at VHS tapes, and my dad's like, I think we're going to rent Die Hard. And I'm like, what's that, Dad? Okay, I'm 7, maybe 6, most likely. And I'm like, what is that, Dad? My dad has this thing where he assumes you know everything that he knows, no matter what age you are. So as soon as I say that, he's like, what do you mean you don't know what Die Hard is? Oh, we're renting this right now. And we rent Die Hard.
Dad.
We rent awesome Die Hard.
Dad.
Oh, well, except he makes you feel like crap for not knowing what Die Hard is when you're 6.
Well, that's what that makes you feel like crap.
So I got another Apollo 13 story related to that.
Oh, God, that's the best,
but
the best story.
Sticking with Die Hard. So we're watching Die Hard at the house. And, like, you know, the German terrorists. Mind you, I've never been to Germany at that point. My family is
or terrorists.
German. Never met a terrorist either. So they're like, you know, they're moving the rocket launcher through the thing,
yeah.
And they're playing the music or whatever. And then they're speaking German to each other. And I'm like, Dad, what language are they speaking? And he's like, you don't know what that is? And I'm like, no. He's like, shh, listen. I'm 6. I still don't know what language that is.
Listen.
I try. I try to figure it out as if I can divine what got that language in the fucking Universal Translator.
He just wasn't fucking with you?
No, he was serious, and he was not happy. Oh,
man. And that day you learned.
And I know, German, and I knew what German sounded like after that, and I knew what the fuck Dyer was. And it was awesome. But, man.
The best is the Apollo 13 story. There's just no replacement.
So we went to see Apollo 13 with Bill Paxton and Kevin Bacon, with my dad and my brother, my little brother.
You hadn't learned from the first experience.
Well, he's my dad. What am I going to do? Divorce myself from my parents?
Is anyway. Germany in there?
No. So we're watching the movie in the theater. It can't just come out. And when we're done, we're leaving, and we're reflecting on how scary it was to be up there alone and somehow figure out your way back. And my, we were talking about how they were having to do calculations on the back of their manual or whatever. And my dad, first thing, clean, right out of the movie theater. We haven't even gotten to the car yet. And he's like, you see, that's why you got to be good at math. Because if you're bad at math, you would die in outer space. You wouldn't be able to do what they did. In outer space.
Listen to that motivational skill.
Put the fear of goddamn death in you.
Yes. Yes.
Teaching moment.
Yes, every moment is a teaching moment.
You should write that down, Keith.
Oh, I don't know.
You gotta have one of those Arrested Development guys where he rips off his arm and starts bleeding, Arrested Development, That's why you leave a note. Those arms come off. Yeah. I will never forget those.
I know where I would be coming situations. From. I would be doing exactly the same thing. And if I were doing it, the reason why is because I'd be wanting to okay, I'm dragging my kids to the movies. I got to make this informative. They got to learn.
That was through fear.
It's too much fun.
I don't understand. So what are you telling them? This is why you tie balloons to your house? I don't... Your kids are little.
There's got to be a lesson.
That was a scary lesson. You see, you would have died in outer space.
And that's why we don't trust the apes.
And guess what?
Right.
Dude's two sons, freaking engineers. Both of them.
See, it worked. They're employed.
He taught me about fiber and glass. Fiberglass. Interesting.
I don't speak German, though.
Oh.
Because
but I date someone who does.
But you can recognize it.
But I can recognize it. And I know to get some Christmas tape and tape a gun, a pistol, to my back, just in case.
Mm-hmm. Now I have a machine gun.
So whenever you hear the German language spoken, does it always harken back to the first time?
I think about it. It's like an automatic. The neurons are there. They're set up that way. It's hard to.
Yeah, it seems like a touchy subject. What's your father have to say?
I think I've told him these stories before. Maybe not the Apollo 13 one, but the Die Hard one. There's another one involving VHS tapes.
If it's anything like my father, he just says, "Yeah, you're making that up. That never happened."
No, he just starts laughing. He just starts laughing like that. Yeah, he'll laugh and be like, "That didn't happen."
Exactly.
Shit, yes, it did. You know how? I wish I could open my brain and show him the scars. Be like, "You see this?"
Nice.
No, my parents indoctrinated me into All in the Family. I Love Lucy was a big one, and then Married with Children was another one my dad really got me hooked on.
Hmm. Star Trek, I watched that with my dad. Next Generation.
Religiously.
My mom was the biggest Trek geek you will ever.
Really?
Yes, and it's so weird.
Wow.
She's super into sci-fi.
My dad loved Star Wars.
She watched the old Hulk shit with Bigsby and.
Wow.
Yeah, she was all in on that.
My dad and I, we watched Cheers.
Cheers.
That's a good one.
My parents would watch
Taxi.
That without me.
That's a good one.
Taxi is funny.
Yeah, but we had no other movie together. No, not those two. And everything else, my dad and I are completely diametrically opposed. My father only likes old westerns.
Oh.
Just old westerns.
That's another
the worse
one.
The acting, the better.
Yeah,
know?
I would watch westerns.
Mom is also into westerns.
John Wayne
as well.
Stuff.
Yep.
I took him to see The Lord of the Rings. His rant afterwards.
Oh, here we go.
He couldn't believe that that party, with all that time, traveling through all those mountains, never once, not once, and he was legitimate about this. Yes. No, terrible movie.
I know
he
it's
never
coming.
Took a shit. never showed it, didn't discuss it, and then he's bitching, like, and then he didn't even talk about that meeting. Well, and I'm like, horseshit, it did talk about the meeting. Said, well, why did, they didn't take a shit anyway.
To be fair, they cut that from the extended thing. Fool of a took, you will hold it.
Taking the shit.
That was in there.
Thou shalt not poop.
Literally. Nice. That was it. It was a terrible move.
Speak crap.
It was a terrible and exit.
Look for me in the utero on the third day.
This could go for a while. This could go for a while.
Lord of the Rings quotes surely into pooping. Or the bathroom in general.
It was terrible.
But John Wayne never shit. I don't understand.
Yeah, wait. Yeah,
exactly,
seriously.
Point. No kidding.
Maybe he just figured he was doing that all along as he was trying to act that he was actually just taking 1.5 hour long shit. Like,
no,
during,
see, it was only an 1.5 hour long movie. He could have held it.
He could have held it through that, but 2 hours.
It's a 2-3 hour movie.
Fuck that.
Serious, man.
There's always some absurd reason why the movie sucks.
That's always different.
Oh, this reminds me, since we're talking about movies, you and I touched on this briefly before the show. I just saw Armageddon, or it's part of it again, at the gym there night. And I remember I was like, oh, this, I really enjoyed the hell out of this stupid ass movie. And I was trying to recall, when did I stop liking Bay flicks? Because The Rock is phenomenal. I like Armageddon a lot. Bad Boys is fun.
Trust me, you haven't seen Pain and Gain. You haven't stopped liking Bay Flicks.
I was just saying, the first Transformers is ridiculous but awesome.
It's too long, though.
Who cares, dude? That first scene with Blackout, nothing else matters. I had tears in my eyes. I was like, fuck it. Yeah.
It will literally break my heart if you guys see Pain and Gain and you don't like it. It cracked me up so much. Again, I'm not saying it's like greatness in any way. I'm telling you,
Bad Boys is
perfectly
like that, right?
Absurd.
It's hilarious and a good action movie.
Yeah.
It's same with The Rock. The Rock is Die Hard and Lethal Weapon, like, perfected in one film.
Yeah.
And that's glory. And Hans Zimmer is, like, just wailing on drums the whole time, too. It's phenomenal. And, you know, Nicolas Cage shags the prom queen. That's good, too.
Sean Connery. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Now I hesitate.
I can't believe you don't like Bay Flicks. What are the ones you don't like?
Transformers 1 through 3.
I'm not a big fan of Armageddon, to be honest. I just that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people weren't on it, but I enjoy the shit out of it.
Yeah, it cracks me up.
So did you want to close your eyes then? Is that what happened? Did you want to fall asleep?
The island was not particularly good.
I wanted
to
be hit by the goddamn meteor.
You know what? Okay, if you compare Armageddon to Deep Impact, Armageddon was better. Impact was...
I never saw Deep Impact.
Oh, I didn't either.
The two meteor movies or whatever.
Yeah, I love how
Leone's fun to watch, but it was fun to watch when I was 19, whenever that movie came out.
Well, she's in Bad Boys, too.
Yeah,
so.
Sure.
And she was better in Bad Boys, too. Way better in Bad Boys, too.
No, Bad Boys 1, I mean.
As well.
What? I've never seen Bad Boys 2. I'm sure it exists.
Bullshit! You haven't seen Bad Boys 2?
Oh, man.
It's fun.
It's also too long. Like, there's a scene at the end in Cuba that just didn't need to happen. But like the chase scene on like along the causeway in Miami is like one of the most hilarious.
Oh,
awesome
my
scenes.
God!
All right.
Maybe I can hook on
TV. You don't like Bay Flicks because you haven't.
You can stream
seen
it. On, you can stream it on Netflix.
Oh,
actually.
I mean, what else is he doing? He's been working on Transformers for a long fucking
time.
That's
true.
And he's got Ninja Turtles coming up now, too.
Yeah.
I am not excited.
I don't think anyone is.
I don't know.
The Island was not good.
No, I didn't like it.
Only because my cousin
I kind of liked the Island.
It was okay.
I liked the scenario of the movie itself.
Yeah. Interesting idea, but ugh.
Yeah.
I never saw it.
The Island?
Yeah. Bullshit.
I saw part of it at
the gym.
What's the setup?
There
is a futuristic society of people that are being groomed to repopulate the Earth after a disaster. Or that's what they think. They find out they're actually being grown and cultivated as organ donors.
Oh, is this with
It's Obi-Wan and ScarJo.
Yeah.
Oh, he did Pearl Harbor in 2001.
Oh, God damn it. Scarlett Johansson? ScarJo?
Yeah.
Now, come on. Pearl Harbor was just...
Pearl Harbor.
Hysterically bad.
He did Bad Boys.
Yeah, but that's not good. You know what I'm saying?
Bad Boys in 95, The Rock.
Like, I enjoy The Rock unironically.
Well, I think it is good. That's exactly what I mean, good in that bad kind of way.
Pearl Harbor.
No, no.
Pearl Harbor.
That just.
So Bad Boys in 95, The Rock in 96, bad. Armageddon in 98, mm-hmm. Pearl Harbor in 01, Bad Boys 2 in 03. He did a music video for the Lionel Richie Collection in 2003.
Of course
you
did.
The sun.
The video for Do It To Me.
Awesome.
The Island 05, Transformers in 07, yeah, Transformers in 09, Transformers in 11, then Pain and Gain.
All the robots, Skylock.
Another Transformers movie.
Richie.
And
if I'm coming back for another album and
yeah,
I'm going to do a video,
yeah,
I want Michael motherfucking Bay directed my...
He's actually going to be at ACL this year.
Lionel Richie?
Oh, yeah.
Why
that would be your Sunday night headliner,
why
my man.
Not?
I'm so bummed they're not doing one-day tickets anymore.
When is ACL?
2 weekends.
It's over two weekends.
It? 2 weekends in October.
Well, is it? Okay.
They're not doing one-day passes?
No.
Really?
Otherwise, I would get one for Friday. What? Because Vampire Weekend, Muse, Cascade.
Yeah. Damn.
And I'm freaking someone else awesome are all
Martha
playing
Machine.
That night. No, I should
hear
last year. Still there. Probably at some point.
Their new tour, new album, and they're going to be in Dallas sometime.
You want to hear something
first
more
time
awesome?
In a long time.
Mm.
Beginning of August, Master
I thought they toured
Born,
like ever.
Odom, Machine Head, Amon Amarth, a bunch of fucking people.
Is it Lollapalooza this year?
No, that's this traveling.
Menagerie of Chaos.
Did I say Mastodon in there? I
yes, you did.
I'm very excited for Children of
Men. About Go Hero.
I don't think
Discovered this day.
Gojira, yeah.
I don't think Gojira's in there. But,
oh, but you pronounce the J.
Yeah.
I want something else today.
Japanese is, yeah, Gojira. Oh,
Gojira.
They're from France, which is weird, because they're like this metal band.
You're awfully angry.
They're
right
pretty
there.
Awesome.
I was just pulling up the Pearl Jam schedule to see when they're going to be in Dallas, because that's one of my bucket list things. My bucket list is small.
It was mine, too.
And it's
I
on my
crossed
birthday,
that off.
Which is 2 weeks from the due date of my third child. There's no way
I can squeeze it in.
You
can squeeze it.
You
should have your child
you need to have a conversation
at the Pearl Jam concert.
Before or after.
Delivered by Eddie Vedder.
Cancel this apocalypse.
2 weeks
before. Yeah. No, no. Look, 2 weeks. I've already made a vow to myself. This isn't promising anybody else. So 2 weeks before the due date of this kid, I'm going to like either Sam's or something and like stocking up. Like apocalypse is coming, so I could stay at home for 2 weeks without leaving for the grocery store for anything for 2 weeks.
Wow.
And so of course. Pearl Jam's gonna come to fucking Dallas.
I'm telling you, here's what you do.
They were here for ACL.
You
that was amazing.
I know, I had kids then too.
You're gonna have kids forever.
You're gonna
way
go to the store and you
Kanye wrote
the
about this. Got you for 18 years.
edit once more. Pile of pillows in your bed, and then you just disappear and go to this concert. That's totally the right plan.
Actually. November 1st, they're in New Orleans.
Isn't that, like...
way more complicated?
Yeah.
Because then you gotta be in New Orleans.
Well,
yeah.
Is that.
Damn it.
Woo! Story of my life.
I'd love to tell you they're terrible in concert, but that would be a lie. They are amazing in
concert. I swore to myself when I missed them at ACL.
It was
like,
me
I will
and a bunch of people in the mud, and it was the best day ever.
I bet.
I had swine flu. That's why.
Oh, the Beastie Boys were there. It was one of their. I don't know if it was one of their last ones, but it had to be pretty close. Within a year. Mm-hmm.
One of your last opportunities.
Yeah, well, it was.
Well, I got swine flu at PAX right before it, so I was fine.
That's why I had swine flu. I got it from you. I think. No, I don't know if that's really true, but.
Now, what month apart?
Yeah. No, but it that sucked. I was very sick for about 48 hours.
Yeah.
Right over Pearl Jam.
Well, there's something there. There's something on the internet where there was like, the Beastie Boys fought and possibly died for my right to party.
Yeah,
you posted that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I was cracking up.
Oh, I have a hilarious this is terrible radio, but I have a great picture to show you guys. Remind me.
Okay.
Well, should we start the podcast? Since we haven't officially yet? Before we and then just close it down.
What was the title of our podcast again?
Well, the balcony is full.
The balcony is full.
I think the episode is full.
Tower, this is Ghost Rider requested by
Negative Ghost Rider.
Negative Ghost Rider, the balcony is full.
There you go. That is an ugly man you're showing me.
That's the guy from Mitchell and Webb.
I know that.
That's awesome.
Man. Yeah. Lots of, I think it's going to get crazy towards the end of the year with all the video game stuff and just a lot of stuff.
Christmas time.
Makes sense. The usual, I guess, but.
Yeah, I need to get something out of you guys as far as, like, which
Holy
one.
Holy shit.
They both told you PS4.
Well, if you're already on Xbox Live, I don't see the point
That's
of changing. They're all going to have most of the same games. Because most of those game, the cool games are third party anyway. So
this image is entitled goodtimes.jpg.
Let's see, what do we got here? What do we got here? There's a banana,
a
knife.
A banana, some petroleum jelly, a big ass bottle of Jack Daniels,
and
a
like
roll
a
of duct tape. And that is a bright orange
balaclava. Wow.
Yes, goodtimes.jj.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That is upsetting.
That's stupendous. Is the word you're looking for.
I think the balcony is full.
It feels that way.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Full of Sound and Fury podcast. I'm your host. I'm Cyrus Mortazavi. You can listen to this and other episodes at fullofsoundandfury.com, especially once I call GoDaddy and have them fix my goddamn redirect. Until then, download us on iTunes. With us tonight was Keyshawn.
Huh?
That was good.
This podcast sucked. Not once did anybody stop to take a shit.
Noted.
I'm sorry. I didn't stop, but I
did. But he did anyway.
Just for the record.
With an amazing battle system. Also, it's Riyadh Wabi.
I'm wearing a still suit.
Wow.
Last but certainly not least, Ariel Rodriguez.
What up? I do this other podcast, Kung Fu Conversations. Also, check it out on iTunes.
That's 2Ks, right?
It's, yes, 2Ks.
All right. Because I tried to find it with 1K. It did not work.
Sorry. Conversations with the K also.
Not 3Ks.
No, that's racist.
That's also a podcast. It's not a good time.
Don't look that up. That's not with me either.
Yeah, no shit, right? Or any of us.
Pretty much.
We were just kidding about like downloading things that we didn't own. That didn't actually happen.
Never.
Just want to throw
not
that
once.
Out there. No, all law-abiding citizens on this podcast. This has been a Rise Again production. Copyright 2013.